I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening, please, in the book of John's Gospel. John's Gospel in the chapter 20. Follow us in the reading of God's precious and fallible word this evening. In John's Gospel, chapter 20. And we read some verses from this passage of God's infallible book. John 20, verse 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt help us, preacher, tonight to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me, our God, to just preach the word that thou hast given, and I thank you for blessing my own soul. And I pray that you'll bless those that have gathered here tonight. We pray for any tonight that know not the Savior. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou will bring them savingly and lovingly to the Savior, that they might know him whom to know is life eternal. And so I claim the covering of the precious blood and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that everything tonight will just dovetail together to the glory and the honor of Christ. For we pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, I often think, you know, people come to the house of the Lord, and I often wonder just exactly how do they leave the house of God? I wonder, many of you have come many times to God's house, and you've come and gone, as it were, from the house of the holy, but how have you left? Maybe you came in burdened. Did you leave with burden lifted? Maybe you came in discouraged. Did you go with greater courage in your heart and refreshed in your soul and courage to go on with God? Maybe you left convicted because the Spirit of God having spoken to your heart. Maybe you left concerned about your soul salvation. You've come and gone from God's house and still you're not saved. Yes, concerned, but you've never been converted. Thank God for those who have left converted. Thank God for those who have left and their lives have been changed. They become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Sad to say, many people leave careless. They just go on as they were. They just leave as they came. Natural fact, they leave different because they're hardened, more hardened than ever been before, having heard the word of God and yet not saved, not in Christ, not ready for heaven and home. But I want to talk to you tonight about three people who left the tomb. You see, they came to the tomb and they left the tomb. And I want to talk about how did they leave the tomb on that resurrection morning. I want to preface my remarks by saying this to you. Listen to me carefully. We can never make too much of the death of Christ. But you can make too little of the resurrection of Christ. You can never make too much. No preacher can ever make too much of the precious blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary and the death of Christ. For thank God, because Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But friend, you can make too little of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, your hearts are blessed whenever you meditate, and you can never meditate too frequently upon the cross. I often think of the words of that hymn writer, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain. But friend, let me say this. In pondering the sufferings of Christ, never forget the glories that followed after it. Never forget the glory of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Calvary did not exhaust the gospel message. You remember whenever Paul was writing to the church at Corinth and he was giving there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 a summary of the gospel, he said this, that Christ died for our sins according to the gospel. He says, this is a gospel that saves men. And then he tells us what the gospel is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But he didn't stop there at the death of Christ. He said that he was buried. And then it says, and that he rose again from the grave, the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, listen, you study carefully the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And I was doing that, you know, when I was studying for this message. And when I went to Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and then in Acts chapter 3, and Acts chapter 4, and Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 13, and you find the preachers, and they were preaching the word of God, friend, and you'll find that they did not only preach about the cross, they preached about the resurrection. They preached about a Christ who died for our sins, but as said in the book of Romans chapter 4, that he was delivered for our offenses. But hallelujah, he was raised because of our justification. And friend, Christ died on the cross. Hallelujah, he did. And there he finished the work. And thank God he died that you and I might be saved. But I'll tell you this. If the gospel stopped there, if there was no glorious resurrection, if Christ was held in the grave, then Paul said, we would be of all men most miserable because we would yet in our sin. Because, my friend, Christ died because what he did at the cross fully satisfied all the divine justice. And praise God, death couldn't hold him. The grave could not hold him. But up from the grave, Christ arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. It says here in John's Gospel, chapter 20, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. I mean, that's interesting. The first day of the week. And I think that it's most fitting that Christ should rise from the dead on the first day of the week, because that intimates a new beginning. A new beginning. And thank God we have in Christ Jesus, you and I who are saved tonight, we have had a new beginning. Because of the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, during the Old Testament times, do you remember the Sabbath? What was the Sabbath, friend? The Sabbath was the memorial of God's finished work in his old creation. Because when he finished the old creation, the Bible says he rested. It was the day of the Sabbath. It was the day that God rested. But in the New Testament, the Christian Sabbath, the first day of the week, is the memorial of Christ's finished work from which issues the new creation. And thank God he rose on that first day of week. Now the Bible tells us that here in John's Gospel chapter 20, and I want you to open your Bibles there, because follow this passage of Scripture, and I've tried to help you, and may the Spirit of God help me to help you to understand what has been said. It says here, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Now, you read the Gospels and you'll find that it was yet dark. It was yet dark. I'll tell you, that was a dark day for Mary Magdalene and the woman. The woman who lingered there at the cross, the woman that stayed there, the woman, yes, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, as they sat there and they watched Joseph of Arimathea, and they watched Nicodemus prepare the body of the Lord Jesus, whom they loved, for burial, and they sat there near the sepulchre. While everybody else had gone, the woman stayed. And the woman watched there. Because in their heart, friend, they knew that time was running out and that Joseph was preparing the body of Christ for burial, and it was done speedily, and they wanted to finish the work. They wanted to bring spices for the body of Christ, and so came early. It was yet dark. You know, there are many reasons why those women wouldn't have come. Because, you know, they could have stayed away. Why? Because, of course, they'd expect the Roman soldiers to be on guard. There were no men with the woman. And yet the woman had to pass that by. There were none of the other disciples. There were none of these men. There was not Peter and John and all the rest of the disciples. No, no, it was the woman alone. A little band of women. John mentions just Mary Magdalene. You say, well, why does John do that? Because if you read John's Gospel, you'll find that John always is interested in individuals. He speaks about Nicodemus, the individual who came to Jesus by night. He spoke about the woman at the well. He spoke about the man who was born blind. He spoke about the woman that was taken in adultery. He spoke about individuals. That was characteristic of John presenting individuals and bringing them before our notice. And so he speaks about Mary Magdalene. But this little band of women, there were the soldiers. They could have kept them away. And then there was a great earthquake. You can imagine what that would have meant to the woman, friend. Fear. And then, of course, it was Passover time. And because it was Passover time, there were thousands of strangers that would have been gathered in Jerusalem. Many of them lying against the wall. And the woman, yet it was dark. And yet, although these strangers were lying there, and there were no men to protect them, these women, something drove them on. Do you know what it was? Love. They loved Jesus. Their love for Christ drove them on. And so very early in the morning, they passed by old, and then it was that old great stone. Oh, you know, the woman saw Joseph as he put that stone, that great stone against the door and rolled it against it. That big stone. What would the woman do with it? Friend, there were so many reasons to stay away. There was one reason to go. They loved Jesus. And if you really love the Lord, friend, I'll tell you this. He'll get over the other difficulties. If you really love him. You know what the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter? Whenever he said, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And he pointed to the fish, the old life. And then he said, you know, Lord, I love you. He said, you'll feed my sheep, you'll feed my lambs. If you really love me. If you really love the Lord, friend, you know the old devil puts so many obstacles in our way for serving the Master. If you really love the Lord, friend, I'll tell you, you'll serve him. You'll get over the problems and over the difficulties and over the obstacles. And so the woman did. Do you know when they got there? The Lord had dealt with many of the problems. For example, what about the soldiers? What about these big burly men? And here these women would be making their way. And my, they would feel intimidated. Where were they?
They fainted. The Lord dealt with the men. They were lying on the broad of their back. Whenever they heard the earthquake, whenever the angel descended to roll away the stone, the Bible says that they were so gripped with fear that these big soldiers, they fell fainted as dead men. The Lord dealt with that problem. What about the stone? See, the Lord dealt with that problem. You see, friend, let me tell you this. So many times the devil puts obstacles in our way and things that we never have to cross, never have to face, but the old devil puts them to stop us from loving Jesus and serving Jesus. And so the Lord dealt with all of these things. Can you just see this scene, friend? Listen. The Bible says, now read this carefully. Mary Magdalene cometh early. It was yet dark unto the sepulchre. Seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now notice it said, she saw the stone. And the stone was taken away from the sepulchre. Verse number 2, it says, then she runneth. She runneth. Now you read the other Gospels carefully. And whenever she ran to Peter and to John to tell them about that the stone has run away, what it was rolled away, it says, look in verse 2, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not whether they've laid him. Now you read the other Gospels carefully, friend, and you'll find that the woman who looked into the sepulchre, they saw the angels. And the angel of the Lord said to him, I know you're seeking Jesus of Nazareth, but he's not here. He's risen. But you know, Mary didn't say that when she went to the disciples. No, no. She said, listen, they have taken away my Lord. And I don't know where they have led him. They've taken away the Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. But the angel said, he's not here because he's risen. Do you know why, friend? Because the Bible says here about Mary Magdalene that she saw the stone taken away. Then she runneth. She didn't wait around. She didn't see the angels. She didn't wait. You know what she did? When she saw the stone rolled away, friend, she rose to the conclusion. They've taken Jesus out of the tomb. They've taken the Lord away. And the minute she thought about that, she didn't wait around to find out whether it was true or not. She ran, and she ran to, who will I go to? She ran to Peter and John. Now you say, why did she run to Peter? Did he not deny the Lord? Then let me tell you, Mary didn't hear Peter denying the Lord. She wasn't there. But she did know that whenever Jesus was alive, Jesus was about, Peter and John were always with him. They were two of the three, Peter, James, and John, that were always on very special occasions with the Master. They were always there. I believe something else about that. I believe, you know, that Mary knew that Peter and John, she could tell them, and they would come right away. You ever go to somebody, you know, and you bring a message to them, and you know, it's a message that's got you excited, and you want them to help you, you want them to do it, and they stand sort of, you know, what? And then it takes an hour before they wake up. Not Peter and John, friend. Let me tell you, whenever she went and she saw Peter and John, you see, Mary loved the Lord, and she had no doubt whatsoever that they loved Jesus too. But the sad thing is this. She only waited to see the stone. And I believe instead, if she had waited to go in, then she'd have heard the message. He's not here. Not because somebody is taken away. Because he's risen. As he said. As he has told you. But she came to the wrong conclusion. Have you ever done that, friend? Jumped to the wrong conclusion? They have taken away the Lord. And I don't know where they've led him. In other words, he's gone, he's lost. The Lord wasn't lost, friend. The Lord was risen. Oh, may God help us tonight. Rather than jumping to the wrong conclusions to bring us anxiety, that we would wait on the Lord. Just wait on him. God knows the right time. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing in your life, my friend. You see, there is no doubt whatsoever. Mary loved the Lord. But our love needs to be regulated by faith. She came to the wrong conclusion. Now, let's see this very quickly. She goes to James and Peter and John. And the Bible says, Lucas says there in verse number 3, Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple. You notice in John when he's talking about himself, he never mentions his name. John never puts himself out there. He just always calls himself the other disciple. You know, friend, let me tell you, it's so important. You and I, those who are saved tonight, in the Lord's work, remember, it's only the Lord that matters. You know what John said? He said this. He said, John the Baptist says, I must decrease, that Christ may increase. And if you want to be used of God, friend, let me tell you, then you've got to humble yourself before the Lord. And realize that there is nothing in you or off you. It's all of the Lord. And except it be of the Lord, then there'd be nothing done. Now the Bible says that Peter therefore went forth, verse number 3, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And so there are three people, very quickly. And you'll find that there's Peter at the sepulchre, and there's John at the sepulchre, and then there's Mary at the sepulchre. Now, how did they leave, friend? They arrive at the sepulchre, but how did they leave? It's so important. Now, let's see this very quickly. The Bible tells us in verse number 8, this is how John left. He left believing. He left believing. It says in verse number 8, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. He saw and believed. Now it says they started, Peter and John, they ran together. They left Mary, but she followed after. She was going back to the place of the tomb. She wanted to find the Lord. She loved him. And so we find that Peter and John, they start to run together. And then John, he runs faster than Peter. He outruns Peter. You know why? Because Peter's the older man. And I know, I remember, I used to be a good runner. I must confess, I couldn't run like that anymore. I used to be a good runner. In actual fact, Cecil Shields thought he was a great runner when he was in the police. And he thought he was a fantastic runner. He thought he was, you know, ready for the sprint. He could beat Sebastian Coe in the running. And then he took me on in a race in Israel one time, on the roof of an hotel in Israel. And praise God, here was this fellow that had all himself, all, you know, sussed up and, you know, and all this ready to run. And I beat him. Hallelujah. Mind you, I was nearly dead afterwards, but nevertheless, I beat him. And then there was another young lady one day thought she had outrun me too. And Karen Lennox one time, she thought she had picked me for a race, and or Karen Simpson. And I beat her too. I did, but I couldn't do it anymore. But John outran Peter. And John got to the tomb. And whenever John got to the tomb, listen, he It says he looked in. He's stooping down, verse 5. Looked in. Now the word there, looked in, means he glanced in. Just a glance. John didn't go in. People ask the question, why didn't John go in, friend? Because first of all, whilst he outran Peter, I believe that John had a respect for the older brother. I believe he had a respect. It's not much known in this day and generation, but I'll tell you. It's something that would be a good characteristic for a person to have. It's respect. And I believe that John respected the older brother. And he waited on his older brother to take the lead. But I believe it's something else. I believe there was the overruling hand of God in that. And I'll tell you why. Because, friend, let me tell you this. Two must be present. It's in the mouth of two witnesses. And two must be present to witness so as to establish the truth. Now, Mary couldn't have looked in and been a witness because in the Mosaic law, under the Mosaic law, a woman was not eligible to bear witness. But the mouth of two men, the truth could be established. And it's also interesting, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is recorded about the appearances of Christ after he was dead, notice there is no mention of the woman in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because under the law, they could not witness to it. And so, John followed in after Peter. And the Bible says, he saw. Now that word saw, the second time in verse 5, it is the first time he saw the linen clothes. That was a glance. But the second time it says in verse 8, then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the supper, and he saw. That wasn't a glance anymore. That, friend, was something wonderful. Because John saw something there. He saw the undisturbed clothes. Now remember, they wrapped the linen cloths around the dead body. And they tightly wrapped it. Do you remember whenever Lazarus was raised from the dead? Do you remember what Jesus said? Loose him! Loose him and let him go! And so the wrappings would be wrapped around the body. But let me tell you, there they were just lying. Just as the body had been wrapped. And then John saw the napkin. And he saw it lying in its place, all undisturbed. You know what that meant to John? It meant to John, a miracle has happened here. For Jesus has just left the clothes. He just rolled out of them. And he believed. Now, just in case somebody said to me afterwards, preacher, just hold on a second. Did you not read verse 9? After you read verse 8. Yes, I have read it, so don't worry. It says, for as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead, friend. But the contrast here is not between believing and not believing. The contrast between verses 8 and 9 was the ground on which their faith rested. The ground of what, whenever he saw, he believed, was what he saw. It's what he believed, a miracle happened. But in verse 9, it speaks about the scriptures, the ground of your faith being the word of God. And of course, that came as well. John left believing. Let me ask you a question, friend. Is that how you have left the cross of Christ? Believing? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you saved tonight? I said, listen, the first one was Peter or John. He left believing. What about Peter?
Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Then come a verse 6. Then come a Simon Peter following him. And he went into the shepherd. Do you see the difference between the two men? Temperament. John, hesitant. Reticent John, standing back. Who glances first on and then comes in to see. Peter, whenever he comes, he just comes on in. He's impetuous Peter. He's always the one there that, well, he just goes straight on in. Not just Peter. Impulsive. Forward. The Bible says Peter came to the sepulchre. The Bible says, verse 6, that he went into the sepulchre and he seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. But friend, Peter left. How did he leave? Just keep your hand there every second. Turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, it says this. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping in, he beheld the linen clothes lying by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. You see, John left believing. Peter left bewildered. He left bewildered. I often thought about this, you know, and especially when I was studying this, God bless this to my heart. What must have been in Peter's heart that night or that day when he walked into the tomb? Whenever he was running, what must have been going through Peter's mind? Because the last time that Peter saw the Lord, the last time that Jesus looked into the eyes of Peter, it was whenever Peter had denied the Lord with those curses. Was that why it took Peter longer to the tomb? I denied him. And you know, as Peter looked at those grave clothes, I believe that in his heart that Peter knew Jesus was alive. But if that was so, he was going to meet the one that he denied. He remembers that last glance in that hall. Whenever the cock crew the second time, and Jesus looked at Peter, and then Peter went out into the night, and Peter wept over his sin. And Peter knew, I'm going to see Jesus. And I honestly believe that Peter left bewildered because Peter's vision would have been clouded by the pain that he felt over the past. I deny the Lord. How am I going to face him? How am I going to look into his eyes? Remember the last time he looked at me? And he loved me. But I denied him. And I went out into the night. Yes, Peter knew something had happened. But he didn't really know what that meant to him. Or for him. And then the Bible tells us in John's Gospel, verse 10, 20, chapter 20, verse 10. Then the disciples went away again onto their own home. And I thought about that too. Because do you remember in John's Gospel, chapter 19, who was at John's home? Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I thought about this. I wonder what John and Peter said to Mary.
Because Peter left bewildered. John left believing. Verse 11. But Mary. This is Mary Magdalene. It says Mary Magdalene stood at the sepulchre. She's now back at the sepulchre. And the Bible says that she stands at the sepulchre weeping. Why was she weeping, friend? Because her love for Christ made her weep. She didn't understand. Somebody had taken away Jesus. And yet the fact is this, friend. She wept as if nothing could comfort her. And yet the fact was this. The very thing that she's weeping about, the empty tomb, was the thing she should have been rejoicing about. You know, sometimes in my life, and sometimes in yours, then God's working things out. And so often we think that what God's doing, just because we can only see the here and now, our hearts break and we cry and weep about things privately. And we weep needlessly. Friends, she didn't need to be weeping. The tomb was empty. The Lord had risen. He was alive. The one that she loved with all her heart. He was living. He wasn't dead. He wasn't arrested. He wasn't in the hands of the enemy. My, she had believed. All of this, somebody had taken him. Yet, she's weeping needlessly. I'm going to have to let you look into a lot of this yourself because time's away. Listen. And after weeping at the sepulchre, then she looks in. An interesting little thought. Notice whenever she looked in, look at verse 12. She seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Now notice, whenever Peter and John looked in, they didn't see any angels at all. No angel spoke to them. But the angel spoke to Mary. Now the Bible tells me that the angel of the Lord, I can't see whom God has sent to protect me. But I'll tell you this, friend, I believe with all my heart, there have been days of great danger which I didn't see. But the word of God says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. And there that day, in the midst of her tears, in the midst of her hopelessness, in the midst of her brokenness, she saw two angels sitting there. That's interesting too. Because in actual fact, it's only at the time of the resurrection you ever read about angels sitting. You don't read that any other time. Angels sitting. And yet the angels are sitting. Why? I believe that, quite honestly, there was a witness here. These two angels were just sitting. Because, you know, God has a rest for his people. In the midst of all seemingly calamity, here were two angels sitting, resting. One at the head and one at the feet. The rest which was secured from the finished work of Christ. And they said to the woman, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? In actual fact, there was a question. Have you any just cause to be weeping? Why are you weeping? And I believe, friend, we need to search our hearts at times. Because the fact that the tomb was empty was not a cause for weeping. It was a cause for joy.
I believe the Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Even whenever we can't understand what God is doing, friend, in the life of His child, the child of God can still rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, before the angel could say anything else, Mary, she answered, she said, listen, they have taken away. And notice what she said. Verse 13. It was different than what you said to John and Peter. There's one word different. Because they have taken away my Lord. And I know not where they have laid him. What does she say to John and Peter? She says they have taken away the Lord. Do you know why? Because he was their Lord too. He was their Lord too. She knew that they loved Jesus too. And so when she was talking to Peter and John, she said, they've taken away the Lord. Our Lord. But when she was answering the angel, she said, they've taken away my Lord. My Lord. And I know not where they've laid him. I believe in actual fact of Mary just had to keep quiet for a wee while. She would have heard what the angel had already said to the woman before. He's not here for his risen. But she interrupted the angels. Sometimes women can do that. And just in case you men just get carried away, sometimes you can do it too. And so she said, they've taken away my Lord. Prince, she loved him. What she was saying was this, how can I do anything but weep? I've taken away my Lord. She loved him with all her heart. And it was then. Whenever she said that, friend, notice, she didn't concentrate on the angels. She wasn't taken up with the angels. No. She was taken up with the Lord. And she turned her back on the angels. And when she turned her back on the angels, there was Jesus. And Jesus asked her the question again. He said, woman, why weepest thou? And you know, friend, when I read Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah said this. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. And praise God that he would just do that. For Mary's heart was broken. Broken for the Lord. And then he said, whom seekest thou? And in response, she said, she thought he was a gardener. Sir, they have borne him thence. Tell me where they have laid him. And I will take him. Oh, wait, three times she just mentions him. Because I believe she was so wholly absorbed with Christ, friend. She supposed that everyone would know who she was seeking. The one that's altogether lovely. And I'll take him away. And then Jesus said, look at verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Mary. The first time, you know, he called her woman. Speaking as the God, as God to his creature. The second time he spoke, Mary, speaking as the Savior to his redeemed. He calleth his own sheep
by name. And you know, it's interesting. Listen, and we're finished. Listen. He just spoke one word to him. Mary. And friend, everything was changed. Everything. Everything was changed. She was no longer crying. She was no longer weeping. Her heart was no longer breaking. Let me tell you, my friend, here was a woman that was weeping, and suddenly she's worshiping. All in a moment. He called her by name. And he goeth before his own sheep, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Listen. And it says, my sheep hear my voice. And she said, Rabboni.
Master. She fell at his feet.
Mary left the tomb blessed. And the Bible says in verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she'd seen the Lord.
I've seen Jesus.
I've seen the Lord. Changed. Listen. John left believing. Peter left bewildered. Mary left blessed. Here's my question. How will you leave tonight? What way will you leave God's house? Will you leave believing? Or will you leave bewildered? Thank God, believing in Christ alone. That's how we started. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Then your soul will be blessed.